Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series about, asking the question, do you need to speak in tongues in order to be saved? In other words, if you don't speak in tongues, are you not saved? The answer, if you haven't been listening to the other parts of this series, is no. You don't need to speak in tongues in order to be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose from the grave, you will be saved, okay? Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You trust in that atonement. You're saved, all right? And you see people exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, friends. And we talked about this yesterday. People that are showing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Friends, there's no mention in these fruit of the Spirit. You don't see a mention of tongues. But anyway, as we've been showing so far, and there's more scriptures to cover, friends, I know that some of you are chomping at the bit and you're thinking, he hasn't even talked about the slam dunk scripture. Yes, there is a scripture that is a slam dunk silver bullet. All that for nothing. This whole series just to come to that one scripture and say, gosh, why didn't you say that first? Well, then it would ruin the whole series, right? So we got to save it for last. It's a good one. So, but yes, many of you have come into contact with people who speak in tongues, and you can agree with me when I say that it's usually the same 15, 20, and if they're really good, 30 to 50 syllables spoken over and over and over and over again. In fact, the interesting thing is they almost invariably always start with the same couple syllables. When they first start busting out tongues, you know, that first moment of when they just bust out in the Spirit, it's always the same thing right away. Right away, it's that first line, if you will. Oh, but this is guys, biblically speaking, tongues is a real, they're real languages. They're real languages that are either A, spoken on earth, or as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, apparently there's tongues of angels. Okay, but we can safely assume that the angels don't have 20 to 50 syllables and they say the same things over and over and over. We can safely assume that angels are probably more intelligent than us and have a more refined language than just 50 syllables, all right? They all don't stand around in heaven and look at each other and go, shan-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, okay? And I know not everybody speaks in tongues like that. I, at one point, believed that I spoke in tongues, and I, just like everybody else, I was one of those refined ones. You know, I had it going on. I had the skills, and so I spoke with about 30 to 50 of them, but, you know, it was still the same stuff. I mean, I even after a while was thinking, you know, I say the same things over and over again. If this was a real language, why don't I feel myself, why don't I have myself being taken away, just carried away in some real language and speaking all these syllables and enunciating different things and you know what I'm trying to say? It was just like if somebody was from a different culture and could not speak English and they were listening to me talk right now on this podcast, they wouldn't be thinking, oh, that's just gibberish. He's just making stuff up. He's just repeating syllables over and over and over again. They'd look at me and it wouldn't even cross their mind. It wouldn't even cross their mind that I'm making stuff up. But when you listen to somebody speaking in tongues, that's what's in your head the whole time. If you're not somebody who's caught up in this movement, you're thinking, I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. Oh, so anyway, let's look at some more scriptures here. All right, we're going to look at this passage that I would call, there's several scriptures that you could pretty much call slam dunkers. This is not anything you could really argue with, okay? When you read these scriptures, these passages in context, just look at them. There's no way that you can conclude that everybody must speak in tongues. You just can't. You can't conclude that. Okay, so here's one of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Okay, let me stop right there. Look, friends, you can tell from this right here since we started, 4-2-1 is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And so not everybody has the word of wisdom, correct? You guys with me? 4-1 is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So not everybody gets the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Does everybody have the word of knowledge? No, they don't. And you see that. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Does everybody have the gift of healing? No. No, they don't. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Did everybody have the ability to work miracles in the Old Testament? No. Or the New Testament, sorry. Okay, no. To another, prophecy. Did everybody prophesy in the New Testament? No, absolutely not. To another, discerning of spirits. Did everybody have the ability to discern spirits? No. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. Did everybody have the ability to speak in tongues in the New Testament? Apparently not. To another, the interpretation of tongues. By the way, did you notice that tongues came last on this list? You could try to say that, well, God saved the best last. I would say God saved the least important of the gifts for last. The only time that this gift really comes in handy is when you're speaking to somebody of another nation. You're off in the middle of the sticks. You're in the middle of a jungle somewhere. People can't speak a lick of English, and all of a sudden God gives you the tongues of those people. And they don't hear you repeating the same syllables over and over and over. They hear their language. They understand you, and they receive the gospel. In verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Skip a few verses, move up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 30. We're going to keep on this same vein, the same mode of argumentation. Now ye are the body of Christ. So he's still talking about these different gifts that end up with the different various people. Not everybody gets all of these gifts, right? Now check this out. Now ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And then he starts asking questions. And friends, the answer to each of these questions is no. Just listen to them. Are all apostles? Are they? No. Are all prophets? No. And I'm inserting the no, by the way. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Guys, listen to his mode of, look at his questions. Are all apostles? No, absolutely not. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all miracles, workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? No, 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 no. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Okay, so yes, I put in the no's, okay? I said no to all those. But you listen to the questions, and there's no doubt that what Paul is expecting is a resounding no to each question. But in case you're still not convinced, here comes the slam dunk, okay? This is what you've been waiting for. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. So he's still kind of in this mode, okay? Paul has been speaking on this subject for quite some time. And he says, I would that ye all speak with tongues. Right there. In other words, I wish you all spoke with tongues. But you don't. Okay, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except ye interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Right? I would that ye all speak with tongues. In other words, you don't all speak with tongues. Okay, and he's speaking to a church. I mean, these are people who are called saints. So there you have it. And I'm not done yet, okay? I'm getting close, but I'm not done yet. I just want to mention a few more things. as you go through the New Testament, you notice that tongues is put on a lower level than many of the other gifts. And we've already seen several instances where this happens. In Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, we hear about these gifts or fruit of the Spirit again, and we don't see any mention of tongues. Of course, we saw in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, no mention of tongues. Now, here's something interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 19 through 20, you hear Paul implying that those who put an undue emphasis on tongues, aka your United Pentecostals, or your Oneness Pentecostals and some other more hyper-charismatic type churches that put this undue large emphasis on speaking in tongues, he implies or almost insinuates that they're, well, he compares them to babes in Christ. But look at this. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And see, we've been dwelling in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14 here, and tongues is a big issue in Corinth. People were speaking out of turn. Nobody could interpret, and there was no interpretations most of the time. And Paul's telling them, look, do things decently and in order. If you don't have an interpreter, don't speak in tongues. Nobody can understand you. And here we have these churches that are trying to make us believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And on the other hand, we have Paul, who is, in a sense, putting tongues on a lower pedestal and saying, look, let's focus on things that really matter here. Unless you're speaking to somebody who doesn't understand you and you have the ability to speak to them and they're able to interpret it, keep your tongues to yourself. Look at this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. It says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Okay, does that make any sense? In other words, tongues are for the unbelievers. Tongues are for believers who have that gift to speak in tongues, to speak to unbelievers in their language, showing them that God is in their midst, that God is speaking through this person. Right? It is a sign to unbelievers. That's what it says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the scriptures say. And as we're coming to a close here for this series, I just want to mention that throughout the book of Acts, we have multiple instances where people get saved and no mention of tongues is there in the text. Now, I understand that is an argument from silence. Okay, so it's not a very strong argument. But again, we already looked where there are multiple scriptures that clearly indicate that not all people who are saved speak in tongues. And it's far from it, actually. But here in Acts chapter 8, we have some Samaritans that get saved. No mention of tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, we have 3,000 people getting saved. No mention of tongues. Acts chapter 4, verse 24, 5,000 are saved. No mention of tongues. Guys, I want to pause here and just say, again, we're being told by the Oneness Pentecostals and many other small movements that you must speak in tongues if you're saved, all right? And this is like a big doctrine, okay? This is a big deal. You have to speak in tongues. And here we see not one single scripture that can be cited by the Oneness Pentecostals to prove their point. Not one single scripture. All they have is anecdotal evidence. They have a few instances where it did happen. Well, praise God. There was times when people got saved, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues. That's fine. That's cool. I'm down with that. I can roll with that. Sorry. But what I, you know, but at the same time, that's not a prescription. That's a description. That is a description of some events. That it is not prescribing how it always happens. But yet we're supposed to believe that if somebody doesn't speak in tongues, they're not saved. Hogwash. Always wanted to say that. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Many were filled with the Holy Spirit, but no tongues were mentioned. Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Oh, I already mentioned that. Acts chapter 8, verse 31. The Ethiopian eunuch that Philip meets with, and he meets with him on his chariot. The eunuch's reading the Isaiah chapter 53. He wants to know what's going on there. Philip fills him in. He gives him the gospel, in a sense. And this guy gets saved. He goes down to some nearby river. He gets baptized. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. No tongues are mentioned. Paul, in Acts chapter 17 and 18, on the road to Damascus, he's knocked to the ground, okay? And the Lord speaks to him through thunders and lightning. Paul points to this event as his spiritual birth. But he doesn't speak in tongues here. He doesn't speak in tongues until later, much later. Guys, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. We have account after account. I didn't give you all. I just gave you a few, okay? We have account after account of people who get saved, and there's no reference to tongues. Okay, again, the Philippian jailer, when he's asked, what must I do to be saved? And he's told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And then he gets saved. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. No tongues. No tongues. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Elizabeth, she heard the salutation of Mary. The babe leapt in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. His father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost too. Neither of them spoke in tongues. The father prophesied, but neither of them spoke in tongues. It's not mentioned. So again, all right, in conclusion, there's not a single scripture that the Oneness Pentecostals or anybody else can point to say, not one that says that all who are saved speak in tongues, or that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Okay, either one would be good to see. We don't see it in the positive or in the negative sense. But we do see in Paul, in Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 30, we hear Paul going through this list of questions. Are all apostles? And our resounding answer back to Paul, no. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to each of those questions is no. All right? I mean, how much clearer can you get? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues. In other words, not all of you speak with tongues. Oh, and again, when we look at Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 13, if any of you out there are feeling the heat from a movement, you don't feel like you're saved, you've been professing faith in Jesus Christ for years, but you don't speak in tongues, here you go. But the righteousness, which is of faith, speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a great note to end on, friends. You do not have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. And furthermore, gosh, it's really hard. Are tongues even meant for today? Did they already cease? I'm leaning towards cease. Whatever the case, every single time I've been in contact with somebody supposedly quote-unquote speaking in tongues, I can tell you with much confidence that is not what was happening. It was a bunch of repetition of vain syllables. It was nothing. It was a game. It was a fake. And friends, if you've been involved with this, and you know it's fake, okay, we need to repent, all right? I've repented of it, and I still sometimes, I just, and I get so annoyed with what happened. I have to repent again, even though I really shouldn't. I mean, I've already repented, and I've confessed that as sin, and I don't want anything to do with it, but I just feel such a yuckiness, just such a, ugh, I can't believe I was part of that. I'd still catch myself saying, God, I'm sorry. But yeah, we need to repent. So anyway, friends, if you like what I'm doing here with Youth Apologetics Training and you want to help out, you want to help support this ministry, I would love your help. There's certainly lots of costs involved with keeping this going. You can send donations to 2392 Loveland, Colorado. That's Loveland. It's all one word. Colorado 80539. I really do appreciate that. And so anyway, yeah, you guys can also catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. I love talking to you guys. With that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.